I want to introduce Elizabeth Reif-Snyder. Did I say that right? It would help if I had my glasses on. Who has conducted numerous breastfeeding studies, including descriptive intervention and evaluation research, and she's a women's health nurse practitioner, community health clinical nurse specialist, and a member of the American Academy of Nursing, where she sits on the breastfeeding expert panel. Welcome.
Thank you. And I want to thank Miriam for that excellent introduction to what my presentation is about. Because what we did in Arizona, I was funded by the Arizona Department of Health Services to do an evaluation of their baby steps to breastfeeding success. And me and my co-presenters have no significant relationships to disclose. Okay. The Arizona Department of Health Services got money from CDC to implement 5 of the 10 baby steps, and these 5 steps were modeled after what was done in the state of Colorado that seemed to move breastfeeding forward. And so they thought, well, you know, like just like Miriam said, step by step, we'll start off with these 5 steps. And so they provided policy training on the 5 steps to the hospitals in Arizona that participate in the Arizona Perinatal Trust. And the Arizona Perinatal Trust is a combination of about 41 hospitals in Arizona that provide neonatal care. So they are certified by the Perinatal Trust to be of sufficient quality to provide these services. What they did is contact all these hospitals and ask them, would they be interested in participating? And the 41 hospitals that were contacted, they were all sent a survey to complete, and 26 of the hospitals said yes, they wanted to participate in the training. Perhaps the reason not all the hospitals wanted to participate is that they had to provide staff, they had to pay the staff to attend the training. The training was provided free to the hospitals, but then the hospitals had to pay for their staff to attend, and it was about a 4-hour training, and I guess some hospitals just didn't want to, you know, let their staff have this training. So the 5 steps, and these were the ones that Miriam showed, initiate breastfeeding within the first hour after birth. Avoid giving infants fluid or solids other than breast milk, unless medically necessary. Promote 24-hour rooming in, encouraging family to recognize and respond to infants' cues. Avoid using pacifiers or artificial nipples with infants during the hospital stay. And give the mothers a telephone number to call for help with breastfeeding. So, like I said, all 41 hospitals received the letter, and once all the hospitals who responded completed a survey, then the selection of the 26 hospitals is basically everybody who said, yes, we will pay for our staff to come. If the hospital said, no, the staff can come, but it's on their own time, then the health department didn't do that because they felt like all the staff needed to be trained. It wasn't, you know, just some would get training and some not. So it had to be universal among the hospitals. And the training was done, started fall of 2010 and completed about 12 months later, because they did the trainings, the two co-authors you saw up front, Ann and Christia, they were the trainers, and they went all over Arizona, and they went all hours too, because they trained the evening and night staff, they trained the day staff, they, you know, took the weekends, and so they would make multiple trips to these hospitals, you know, and rural Arizona, all over. And they are both board-certified lactation consultants. The hospitals completed an online pre-survey, and then I constructed an online post-survey based on the pre-survey and sent that back out to them to get their feedback on what they thought about, you know, what kind of changes had been made, if any. The statistics before the program, we used the CDC 2007, and Arizona, you know, there are some discrepancies. Some things need to be done better. Only 32.4% of hospitals indicated that 90% or more of breast healthy infants are put to breast within 1 hour, so only 34%. And then only less than 23%, well, 23% of the babies are still receiving water or glucose, and about 55% say that the infants get to room in with their mothers, and 41% of the infants are still given pacifiers by the staff. So there's the ways to improve. Okay, the original survey, only of the 41 hospitals it was sent to, only 36 returned it, And then we wanted to see if a policy or a practice was in place. And then in the post survey, we said again, you know, is your policy in place? And I wasn't able to directly compare the two surveys for statistical significance because, you know, number one, there was the N wasn't exactly tracked. Number two, I didn't have a direct one-to-one correlation because the hospitals, we didn't necessarily get the names associated with the hospitals to match up, so I couldn't do pre-post surveys directly. This is just sort of this group and this group are compared. And also we made some changes in the post survey to get a little bit more in-depth information, so that's why I really don't report much statistical significance. Okay. And the purpose of the evaluation, well, it was, you know, to tie up the loose ends because we, Arizona Department of Health, wanted to respond to CDC to say this is how we've used our money. And so as an independent evaluator, because I'm employed by Arizona State University, I contracted with the health department to get data and to do this survey. Okay. So my evaluation questions overall, how successful were the trainings? Have the hospitals implemented the five steps they were taught, and what were the challenges that they identified? So myself and Jennifer were the researchers. We went through IRB, and we did a Survey Monkey, pretty much a blinded survey. They could tell us which hospitals they were at, but we didn't know who at those hospitals were filling out the surveys, and sometimes they didn't even fill that out. But I got IRB consent anyway. Okay. And then we went through and kind of looked at any changes that occurred. And after the training, all hospitals either have a breastfeeding policy in place or a policy in development. So I feel like that first step that Miriam said, you know, sort of expected, everybody does, you know, yes, there is going on. Before the training, two hospitals did not have policies. And a third of the respondents said that their policies have changed because of the breastfeeding training. And some of these changes were already in progress, or they were doing the baby steps themselves without, or you know, their version of it without the training making the policy changes. But no hospitals indicated that no policy changes were made. So I felt like everybody paid attention and tried to implement into their policy. And then I wanted to know, where are the policies kept? Are the policies just available to the staff, or are the policies posted to perhaps the families could see what the policies were? And pre-survey, this was done probably in 2009 or 2010, about 33% said that the policies are displayed where the mothers could see them, but post-survey, nearly everybody's moved things into their intranet online. So it's really not available to the public anymore, but it's available to their staff. Okay, pacifiers. Let's see, this is the one, yeah. Pacifiers, pre-survey said 81% of the hospitals have policies regarding the use of pacifiers, and the post-survey said that 45% say that the maternity care policy does not address pacifiers. So I don't know why they backslid on pacifiers, except to say that most of the respondents said that pacifiers are the hardest thing to change. That pacifiers are used when the parents request them, the parents buy them in the gift shop and bring them in, nurses use them for pain control, and usually there are several hospitals where they said no pacifiers are used. This is because the person in charge of the nursery banned the use of pacifiers. So that shows the effect of, you know, one person setting policy and making this a practice and saying no pacifiers are going to be used, period. So they weren't. And the mothers liked them for infant feeding, you know, just to say, well, when the baby's had enough to eat and they still want to suck, I'll give them the pacifier. But one positive thing was they are not placed in bassinets anymore. So they're not wheeled out to the moms, well, if they're kept in the nursery and the babies go out to the moms with them in the bassinets. The hospitals are striving to meet skin-to-skin. So 100% of respondents say that the babies are put skin to skin within 60 minutes. And for cesarean deliveries, 100% are saying within 2 hours. So I think that's a really nice improvement. So the pre-survey asked if the nursing staff assisted the moms, and 6% said no, they really don't. In the post-survey, everybody is assisting the new moms, and it's either within 1 hour, 3 hours, and up to 3 hours, but everybody is assisting the moms. How long is a baby with the mom after birth? It's basically 1 to 4 hours, and 4 hospitals said infants born by cesarean section only stay in for an hour, and 1 hospital said only 1 hour for vaginal birth. So they are attempting to get the babies with the moms for a longer period of time, but there's still a little trouble with cesareans. Rooming in, pre-survey, 14% of the hospitals did not offer rooming in. Post-surveys, everybody is. The 100% is providing rooming in, except for brief times when the babies are out of the rooms, like for examinations. And still, I think there's some physicians who want the babies all brought to a common place where they can examine them. And I've heard nurses call that baby jail. The babies have to be kept there until the physicians have seen them, instead of the physicians rounding, you know, and looking at the babies in the room. So that's another practice change that needs to be made. And the most common reason given post-survey when the mom and baby are separated is the mom wants the baby out of the room. The mom wants the baby to go back to the nursery. So a post-survey, the respondents were asked to rank baby steps for the changes that were made. And so the most commonly chosen, or the modal answer for almost completely improved, was given for initiating breastfeeding within 1 hour, avoiding giving infants solid or fluids, and promoting 24-hour rooming in. So everybody felt like they'd made those successful changes. So moderately given, the most common response for moderately changed was avoiding using pacifiers. The most common response for completely changed was giving everybody a telephone number to call. So everybody is implementing step 10. Okay. The hardest to change, 78% of the hospitals chose avoid using pacifiers. The second hardest step was avoiding giving infants other than fluid, giving infants fluid other than breast milk. 52% said that that step is hard to change. I'm not sure why. I didn't really get there. I did have text boxes on the SurveyMonkey, and so that's my next step, is to go back and analyze the textual, you know, things to see what kind of comments they gave, because some people wrote a lot about these areas. And they could say they could give more than one answer for hard to change. Okay, feed on demand, it went from 86% to 96%, and they indicated that the most common advice given to moms about feeding is when the infant is showing these cues, signs of hunger. So they're learning the cues. The post-survey revealed that nearly all hospitals have made good faith efforts to comply with Baby Steps for Breastfeeding Success policy recommendations and want to become baby-friendly. This could be because of marketing or consumer demand, but whatever the reason, it's good. You know, we're not going to question why. So I think that the training was valued by all hospitals, as they're all attempting to put the baby steps into practice. Everybody that got the training is. So I think that, you know, as we've shown earlier in some of the previous research, 5 steps are good, and maybe we do need to go incremental. And it's important to do the trainings, to go out there and meet with the nurses. And this was largely the nursing staff that received the training. To do it one, you know, basically small classes at their convenience over and over, and I think that will really achieve some steps toward baby friendly or toward breastfeeding success. Okay, now I have time for questions. I went through that really fast. Are there any questions? Any questions? Yes? I'm sorry, I didn't have that analysis, because the people could supply I didn't ask that as, you know, the type of hospital you are. They could give me the name of it at the end of their survey if they chose. And I did try to say, what size hospital are you in? I mean, what size community are you in? You know, small, medium, and large. But I haven't done the analyses based on my N is only 23, you know, and so if I start slicing it too much, it would probably be non-significant anyway with those small numbers. But I do know the hospital in Arizona that's closest to being baby-friendly is the Phoenix Indian Medical Hospital. They're supposed to get to baby-friendly within just a few more months. But that's a mandate from the Indian Health Service saying all hospitals will be baby-friendly. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Thank you for your presentation. Dr.
You're welcome.
I wonder if it looks like the hospital self-reported their major change and whether they felt that they had changed or how difficult it was.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any sense of what indicator they used to determine the numbers that they reported?
Well, that's an interesting comment because I presented this about last week to the there's a breastfeeding consortium in Arizona that's housed at ASU, and so I presented this research to them, and several of the nurses came up afterwards and said, "Who filled out this survey? I was at this hospital, and I don't know if I would be willing to support everything that you reported." And I went, "Well, you know, this was sent to the contact information, who's usually a director of women's health nursing." You know, and so whoever was in that organization. And so I have put out a call to talk to the nurses who participated in this training to do some qualitative work. And one thing that I wasn't able to tell you, which I tell you now, is I tried and tried and tried to do interviews in the hospitals with the nurses. I really wanted to do a multimodal kind of evaluation where I had the quantitative data plus the qualitative data. And the hospitals, I just got all kinds of blocks as far as getting in and talking to the nursing staff one-to-one. They want to know, well, who are you going to talk to and what are you going to talk about? And da-da-da-da. And say, well, here's my questions. And so, well, I don't know. And even when I had IRB, you know, I couldn't get in. So I'm trying to go through the back door to access the nurses through other means to talk to them about, tell me what your impression is of what's going on among the other nursing staff about how Baby Friendly is being implemented. So those are good points. Yes. No, I didn't. Not in my survey. I was, you know, I mean, I would have hoped that the person who was in charge of the nursing staff would have their finger on what's going on within their unit, but, you know, that's one of the limitations of my survey. Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you.